Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday evening. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us with an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, praise the Lord. We thank God for another blessed day. This is Sunday evening. My brother Eddie Lee, will be heading us off. The title of this, once again, is Good News, the End Time Prophecy. For the second Sunday in a row, he'll be back on to head this off, this 45-minute broadcast that we have today. And then I will be back on myself at 7 o'clock for our broadcast. So once again, we thank God for another special, blessed day, another golden opportunity that the Lord has given us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you that are listening. Amen. And it's truly indeed a blessing. I'm humbled to be a part of this giving of the gospel. Amen. And I know that my reward will be great in the end. Okay. I know it will be greater than the trouble that I've been facing this day. So I say that to all of you that are listening, look toward the promise, look toward the reward. And if you will look close enough, you will see that the reward of the Lord Jesus Christ always outweighs the trouble that you went through. Amen. He would never let trials and tribulations outweigh the reward that he's given. He would not, for example, if he move on you to give, he's going to bless you with more back. God would not allow you to outgive him, okay? Because if he did, then you will be able to get the glory in right standing. So therefore, whatever God had moved on you to even sow seed somewhere, remember, what you're going to get back is more than what you sow, okay? You're not going to get less. You're not even going to get equal to, okay? You're going to get back greater, okay? Because that's how my Lord is, okay? He got to get the glory. So he can't get the glory if he give you just equal or less than, okay? He got to give you more, okay? And that's what helps me in the midst of trials and tribulations that I be encountering and going through, is to look towards the promise, look towards the reward. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, that word of the Lord should have did something for your spirit, okay? You should have been kicking your shoes off and doing the jump and the dance up in your kitchen, okay, to give God glory. So keep that in mind as you have been going through this day. And I know sometimes the days look so dark that you can't even see yourself, okay? See your hand, can't see what you're doing. But know that the light of Christ always outshine and outweighs the darkness. The Lord spoke light. Darkness had to recede. Remember that. Remember in Genesis 1, he said, let there be light. Okay. John chapter 1 tells us about that also. So remember that. Okay. That you have, the reward outweighed the trouble. So now I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom HaMashiach, from the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the English language that we speak. But the Lord gave all nations languages to communicate verbally, and he gave the special people out of Abraham the Hebrew culture to speak the Hebrew language. And later they were separated, they began to speak all the languages of their oppressors or their conquerors. But the Lord knows all the languages in the air, and he made man, so nothing is foreign to him. So we exalt the Lord in our own English language, knowing our spirit and our hearts, and say, today, as we celebrate Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the first, but we celebrated something else beyond the atonement, the resurrection victory. The greatest event that has happened in the history of the planet Earth with mankind is the atonement and the resurrection. Those two events surpass everything that has happened in the past and now in the present, the atonement of the Lord Jesus for all people in every nation in the world. Their sins has been paid for. The penalty has been paid. And then he gave us an everlasting eternal hope when he rose from the dead. Wow. Conquering death, hell, Satan, and the grave, and conquered sin. So when we look at the scriptures, the two greatest marvelous event to take place called the gospel, redemption. He died and shed his blood and bare our iniquity and our sins, paid the penalty, paid the price to bring us back to God. Then he did something else to give us eternal hope. He rose from the dead and conquered death. Wow. I can't think of any religion in the earth, any deity in the earth, said their prophet, they call their people prophet. Jesus was not a prophet. He was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the Son of God. But all the religions of the world put together and call all the demons together, call all the hybrids together, none of them can raise and give life to the dead and raise them up again whole. So I celebrate on the first day of the week, brother, the most important feast day of the Jews, not only the atonement and the resurrection, but in the May we are celebrating the Feast of Pentecost week. So today I was thinking that I was going to speak further as I permitted to about the importance of Pentecost. But then, a few minutes ago, I was sitting on the couch, and I said, well, what shall I, this is what came to me. Now, it can be received, or it can just be whatever. But I'm saying I felt led to do this. It came to me, divine prerogative. Divine prerogative. Now, since you're an English major, and I'm not, we have to call an English major. But I understood somewhat what prerogative means. To exercise the right or authority given to you in a certain office or place of business evidence. So, the word came to me, execute, activate, divine prerogative. Okay, we're going to read a couple of scriptures right quick to talk about exercising divine prerogative from the position and place that we are in Christ. In Ephesians, and we're going to use Ephesians 1 and 2 about divine. And the verse, we're not going to be able to read a lot of verses, the whole chapter, but we're just going to be able to read a couple of verses to get you an idea. And that's first chapter of Ephesians, and verse, what is it, 1, 2, and 3.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Wow. When I looked at it again, hallelujah, a few minutes ago, I glean a truth, exercising divine prerogative. How? Why? As sons of God. Now, you know what he said? He started off, and the Apostle Paul is always start out his letters. Basically, look at the beginning of all his epistles. They call them epistles, all of his letters. He said, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus. He said, giving you his credentials, you know, heavenly credentials. Earthly credentials are good, but heavenly credentials is better, would you think?
A lot better. Amen.
So he's declaring his commission and his authority from what he's about to speak, that not only does he have the apostleship of the Lord Jesus and his credentials and callings from heaven, what I'm going to tell you, it's not my own thinking, my own mind, my own thought. And this is what it says, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Is that verse 3? Blessed us.
Right.
Blessed us. So now, here's why divine, as this hit me a few minutes ago, divine prerogative. And he says about importance of your position and place as sons of God, sons of a king, sons of a high priest, they have the rights to exercise spiritual or whatever business prerogatives concerning that company or whom they're part of, because they are sons, and sons of the Father or sons of a king have authority to exercise divine works and authority because they have divine prerogative as sons to do so. See, king's sons and people are their sons or their next in line have rights of divine prerogative. Now, Jesus Christ is our king. He's well as our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer, but he's our king and our high priest too. So, in all of these positions that Jesus Christ holds, as Emmanuel, the Son of God, Redeemer, high priest, the head of the church, he also, highest order, he's king. He's our king. He's our Lord and king. Now, these other positions, he has the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Emmanuel with us, the seed of David of Abraham, called to be the seed of Abraham for redemption. And he also is the creator, the maker, redeemer, but he's our king. And a king's sons have the right to divine prerogative. What is the prerogative? Let's go. Prerogatives come from a position of power and authority or sonship. And I was thinking about a few minutes ago, I wasn't even thinking about that. It popped immediately just before it got on the broadcast. Divine prerogative. Divine prerogative as sons. As sons. As sons. Redeemed sons. Now, go to Ephesians 2. And Ephesians 2 is going to fit how we obtain this, how we have the right to exercise divine authority. Not because we're going to find out how we obtain this. Second chapter of Ephesians from verse 1 all the way to 6.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus,
Now, you see where we were and what we were, all of us, every person on the earth, individual born in this life. You see what where we were and see where he brought us for and to. Now, this is very important because Christianity is not another religion. Let me get this straight. Well, we use the term Christianity, some people refer to it as a religion, and they make it a religion. But I want to know, you to understand everywhere that I'm listening there, that real Christian, biblical Christianity, is not a religion. It's not another religion. It's not a form, another one of these thousands of different forms of deity. It is the only, Shataka, I said it is the only light and truth that brings redemption. Now, understand this, because all religions, they promise, and their prophets promise this, but the only, what we call, the only faith and the only truth of revelation is that Christ Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, came to make us sons and daughters and redeem us. Now, understand this, we were fallen people, and you just got to read what we where we were. Where were we in the first verse, brother, where we were? Where were we, all humanity? Read that again, where we were, underline, everyone step where we were. It says, again. Okay.
And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins.
So we were dead, right?
Right.
So we were dead first. All men were spiritually dead and cut off. Understand where we come from, where we were, as a fallen humanity, all. Then the next line says what?
Where in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
So we all born with this outside, corrupt, fallen, sinful nature inherit from our physical father, Adam, our biological descendant, Adam. We inherit this. This is the condition of how we were, spiritually speaking. We were all under this cursed condition outside. But while we were dead, he quickened us. Now, this, he made us alive. How were we made alive unto God? This is not a religion. This is making you alive unto the living God, giving you life and eternal life. This is making your spirit reconciled to God, to the living God, the true God, the God of Abraham. Now, your spirit is reconciled. You are made alive. You are joined, connected with the living Christ, living God. And you are now not only servants, you are made sons. And this is very important in order to exercise divine prerogative from where you were to where he brought you and made you in himself. You are now sons, and you are able to exercise something that no other religion, no other business, they can exercise economical decisions in the business world, education world, in relationships, in homes, and exercise the sons and father. They can on every sphere of this world, but there's one important place and position and office that you are brought through by one true living God that came in the world, shed his blood, redeemed us, and did something. He conquered death, hell, Satan, and the grave. Now, he is the Lord of lords. Now, you can't point to no deity in the world that conquered all that. Can you think of any deity anywhere, brother? Any of these gods all over the earth? Can you think of any of them can say that?
You're not going to find one.
Well, maybe you kind of overlooked one, let me name one. Like Confucius. There's a lot of people follow Confucianism and Hinduism. There's millions of people follow Hindu, the Buddhist God and Hindu God. I mean, maybe are you sure? What about them? Then you got all these other gods, the cultural gods and gods of Babylon, deities. Let me see what we got. It's so many of them. It's thousands of them. But these are the largest well-known. Then we got these others. I don't know. You got the, when we go to the Mohammedism, billions, a billion of them. Then you got who else you got? Oh, it's just so many of them. But so, can any of them do these four things? Can they die for the sins of all humanity and wipe up all their sins and the penalty? Can they do that? Can they atone for their blood and their death shed for them to be reconciled back to the living God? Secondly, can they give their spirits a life, activate their spirits alive unto the living God? Can they come inside and indwell and give them the life, the nature of the living God? Secondly, can they go in the grave, conquer death, the spirit of death? Death is a spirit and a curse. Can they conquer the power of the grave? Can they conquer death? Oh, can they conquer the power of Satan who over death? Can they conquer the sinful nature and the curse of sin? Can they do any of those five things? Can any of the gods of the earth? Are you sure?
I'm positive, 100%, brother.
You mean Jesus Christ, the one in our language we call Jesus Christ. In the Hebrew, he's known as Yeshua, HaMashiach. The Spanish called him, I guess they refer to him as Jesus, and Isar in the Islam. This one who was the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Messiah of Israel. Is he standing out among all these thousands of gods in the earth? Is he very visible, the conqueror of all things, the conqueror, Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel? Now, divine prerogative. When you stand near the king in this world, say you stand near the king as his second thing, you receive something as being next to the king. You can execute certain things. You have a mandate. When you stand in the king and you are his second seat, or his whatever they called the one, the prince who sat in this, or his sons, they have the right. They inherit the rights of divine prerogative. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians that we were made sons. We were adopted back into the royal family. Now, see, we're servants first, but then we elevated. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We were made sinning and called to be holy, and God made us with the same nature for us to be holy and righteous, and he had planned this before the foundation of the world, before we fall. Now, in Ephesians said we were made sons, right? In Ephesians 1.
Amen.
We were adopted into the royal family. Then he said he quickened us and made us alive. So that means every person in the world is a dead man walking. Do you comprehend that?
Amen.
That every person that has not been quickened by Christ and the Holy Spirit is a dead man walking. Or they biologically and their emotions are operating in this world. And they may be physical alive. But one part of them is not alive. The most important part, because man is spirit. The Bible said man is spirit. He has a soul and a body. So the real you is spirit, right? The real person is spirit. Just like the God, the living God is a spirit, the eternal spirit. So the real you inside of that body is spirit. You have a soul, which is a mind, emotion, and thinking ability. But the real part of you is spirit. That part of you never die. Okay, now, because why? Because you were created out of God, so it can't die. What God gave life, spirit, it can't die. The only part of you that was created to you is your flesh and your mind and will. That can cease to be or cast down your fleshly part. Now, divine prerogative, because you are sons, because we are now sons and heirs. Now, as you look to Romans chapter 8, it says, as you read Romans, it says, because the Spirit of Christ is in us, we have been made heirs and joint heirs. That is not always fully understood. We need to go to the beginning of the Bible in Romans. What heirs? Why are we joint heirs together with Christ? What did Christ inherit that we also inherit. Now, this is why the devil don't want us to know this. We didn't just inherit to die and go to heaven, which is the most important thing, but while we live on the earth, we are to bring the kingdom of God to take dominion and bring the kingdom of Christ to subdue now while we live. Well, let's see. What authority do we have to bring the kingdom of God and preach to God and reveal the kingdom to subdue and have dominion? Because we have divine orders and prerogatives as sons to do what the king said. Our daddy is the king. Not only is he our high priest and our redeemer, we are, in Revelation chapter 1, said we are made kings and priests. We are actually, right now, kings and priests on God. And in his government, that's what we're going to be called when he rule on the earth, kings and priests and governors. Divine prerogative. He says we were put into the royal family. Do you know Peter said we are royal blood, brother? We are royal.
Amen. Amen.
When you're facing difficulty, you're not trying to be arrogant, but you're talking about your disposition and your bloodline. Peter says we are royal. We are a holy nation, holy priests of God. We are royal blood. Do you know we got the royal blood in us, brother? Royal blood. Amen. I mean, I'm not talking about just the human, our mother and father figure side. We come from pedigree of some family in the earth. I'm talking about royal blood. Said royal blood. This royal blood is from a king of all royal blood, the blood of Christ. That is the most royal blood you're going to get, brother. You can't get no more royal than that, can you?
No, you can't.
So we don't have to bow our head, do we? And like we're nothing. Oh, the little Christians, they ain't nothing. You know, they look down on us in the world, right?
Amen. Yes, they do.
And they look at them, huh?
You're right. Yes, they do.
And a lot of the people look at them little Christians, call themselves redeemed sons, and they're nothing. In this world, all of things, often we'll look down and despise and look as degraded. But to be honest and be truthful and not trying to be arrogant or anything like that, brother, we can just exalt what God says about us, that we are royal. We are high above anybody in the earth. The family of God, the body of Christ is above everyone in the earth in royal position because we have the king's sons and we have his blood. Okay? We're talking about the king of eternity, the king of life and redemption, the Lord Jesus. We are high and exalted. We high and exalted. We highly exalted because we are sons and sons of King and heirs and joint heirs. Do you know what? Joint heirs together with Christ. It says in Romans 8, we are now, because we are alive in Christ, we are heirs, joint heirs. We need to dig down and then see what that joint heir together with Christ. Why are we together with Christ? Because we are seated. Now, let's see what did Ephesians say. We are seated, chapter 2, verses 6. We are seated. They're talking about your position. This is not talking about physical. It's about your position and your office in him of excellency. It says in 2 and 6, we are what? Seated. Are we a place? You got it, brother?
Amen. Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Ephesians 2 and 6 says, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Did you get that? Raised us up. What kind of position he was raised up? What kind of office of authority? What do we receive from the divine prerogative? We'll go in this a little further about this divine prerogative that his sons had. The sons to the king, above all kings, who has his blood, inherit. What do we inherit? We're placed together with him. You know what? Do you know what it said? We are seated together with him. Is that right?
Amen.
with Christ, the living, the King, the Lord, the Redeemer. We're seated with him in authority, seated with him in sonship and inheritance. Now, well, you little Christians ain't nothing. Y'all ain't nothing. Y'all the scourge of the earth. And I'm talking about the real Christians. We're not talking about the make-believe Christians. We're talking about the real Bible-redeemed Christians now. Because a lot of people get confused. Because there's a lot of things calling themselves Christian, Bible Christian, right?
That's right.
And so we want to get the real faith, because everybody that's called itself Christian is not necessarily biblical, describes Christians of Christ, according to the book. You got to have your daddy's blood, your daddy's look, and your daddy's ways. When a child come here, you know, do he look like his daddy? Do he got his daddy's ways? Is he got his blood? Is he got in here? Yeah, child, they took a DNA. He got the blood of his. Yeah, that's his daddy. Don't they get that DNA and say, yeah, that's his daddy. That's his son, right?
Amen.
Well,
amen.
They're going to take a DNA test of us spiritual and see who our daddy is. Our DNA, with the blood that we got, we inherit, the blood rights. Call it blood rights. Blood rights. Now, the one thing we're going to settle on today is the divine prerogative, because we are seated in heavenly places. And we're just going to go and start acting on the divine prerogative. Let's go to 16. How many minutes we got? 10 or 12 minutes? How many you got?
Got about 12 minutes, brother.
Okay. Let's go to Mark 16. We're going to start, hallelujah, St. Mark 16 chapter, beginning at the verse 14, all the way to the end of the chapter, about exercise, divine prerogative as sons. And this prerogative, wow. You know, when the king's sons enter into a nation, and he represents the king, and he's the heir of the king. They have to represent. Do you know when the sons of the kings go into another, they have to recognize those sons at exactly the way they honor the king himself, because he's their representative, he's their sons and their heirs, and they have to give him the same respect and honor as if they was given to the king, because he is a representative. And they have to give him the same honor and respect. Okay. When we, as sons of our king, were given a divine prerogative as being sonships of this royal of blood above all bloods in the earth, Hilolobosharta, this royal king of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the creator, the maker, the giver of life, we have his blood DNA and assigned as sons by faith. We have been assigned sonship through birth and through faith. We're assigned and we have been made alive. Most of all, our spirit is made alive unto God, unto Christ. Hallelujah. We're no longer dead men walking anymore. But we're not dead men walking anymore, okay?
Amen. Amen.
Let's read this scripture right quick in 16th chapter of Mark at verse 14 to 16, whatever. 14:7, whatever.
Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. This is Mark chapter 16, verse 14 to 20. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
As disciples and as sons, they began to exercise something, didn't they?
Amen.
From the command center. And Jesus went back to the command center, right?
Amen.
And give us rights and heirs to exercise. Why? When he went to the Father's throne, because he had bought a place for us, he redeemed us, brought us to the Father, we are now reconciled, and this King Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he said, these are my children, they have the same rights I have, the same authority, dominion I have in the earth, to exercise divine authority, right?
Amen.
Well, did you remember when Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, he said, you do greater works than I do?
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Now, that sounds like far out, but Jesus said this out of his mouth. He said, the works that I do, and he said, and because I go to my Father, he said, you're going to do greater works. That he said it, didn't he? Didn't he say? So that's part of that's part of divine inheritance. You're going to do greater works. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what he said. And he mean that. We may have not come to it, but he has given that. He released that. Now, this divine prerogative, we have rights. So what we're going to do, we're going to act like we're really the king's sons. I know people want to be very religious and stuff and claim like we believe the Bible. But we're going to act like on the divine prerogative they've given to us as sons of God. Hallelujah. And we're going to act like we're sons that we have received. Now, he just gave us an order, Brother Nate. He just gave us a command order in the 16th chapter. He just gave us an order. He said, Jesus, when he left the earth, he gave them divine direction. He says, okay, go in and exercise divine prerogatives as sons and as disciples. And he said, what? What did he say for them to exercise?
Exercise authority. He said, you're talking about from Mark 16, right?
Yeah.
He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they should cast out devils. They should speak with new tongues. They should take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They should lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
And then it went everywhere. In fact, activating the divine order and authority and the divine prerogative as sons and disciples. And they did, and God confirmed the word by signs and wonders. So today, we're going to act like we're the sons of God. We're going to act like we believe the Bible. We're going to act like actually we believe the gospel, brother. We're going to act like we really believe those things. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
So the first, as we close, we're going to activate one of these things that he told us to start doing. And we're going to start doing it, and we're going to do it because we have divine prerogative, and by faith, we're going to leave it up to him. Now, he said, the first thing, he said, do what? The first divine prerogative he told us to act on was what?
Cast out devils.
Kate, then the second was what?
They should speak with new tongues.
The third one was what?
They should take up serpents.
And the fourth one was what? Fifth was what?
If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They should lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
So we're going to be inoculated so much that these plagues are not going to mess with us. Okay, we're going to get inoculated by this viral problem. We're going to start getting to a place where these plagues, they're not going to be able to harm us. We got to get to that place, right? So that's a divine command and prerogative, okay? So let's start at this one as we close. He said, cast out devils. So wherever we're being heard right now, wherever the people that are listening or come to, we're taking authority by the divine prerogative of our King and our Lord and High Priest. But the Nate is acting just like we are the real sons of God. We don't stop play acting. We're going to believe that we are the real sons, redeemed, made alive unto Christ, quickened and made alive and reconciled to God and redeemed, and we were in darkness of sin, and he has given us life. And we're going to act on this divine authority, cast out devils. Okay, today we're going to say to everyone, whether devils or demons or hybrids, it's affecting your mind or your life, we are going to act on a divine prerogative as sons of the King and our Lord. Brother, you want to speak for all the people a divine release of these demons over their minds and over their homes.
Amen. In Jesus' name, we take authority right now. In the name
yes.
of Jesus, and we bind every demon spirits that is controlling
yes.
and influencing the mind of the people. Right now,
yes.
we release the peace of God over their mind.
Yes.
We come
yes.
against every work of Satan right now.
Yes.
In mind-controlling
yes.
demons, we come against these
yes.
spirits. We command you to cease in your maneuvers.
Yes.
The Lord rebukes
yes.
you, and we rebuke you in Jesus'
yes.
name. We have been given authority from
yes.
the Most High God, and we command you. We don't beg you. We
yes.
don't plead with you. We command you
yes.
in the name of Jesus Christ to go, to turn loose of their
yes.
minds, turn loose the
yes.
minds of the people of God right
yes.
now. Turn loose of the mind of the people today
yes.
in the name of
yes.
Jesus. Every hindering spirit that have blinded
yes.
the minds of people that they
yes.
will not receive the gospel, we come against
yes.
it right now. We command
right
you
now.
To cease in your operations in Jesus'
cease.
Name. Lord God,
yes.
let your anointing fall upon them and destroy the yoke. In Jesus' name, destroy the yoke.
Yes.
In the name of
destroy
Jesus.
It now.
Glory to God. Open
glory
eyes, Lord God. Open
yes.
eyes to any doors that are open. Cause repentance to come
yes.
forth, that doors may be
yes.
closed to the enemy. In Jesus'
yes.
name, that is taking the
yes,
minds of the people. In the name
yes.
of Jesus Christ. Father, we
thank
you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. And we thank you as we have exercised divine prerogative as sons. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We have obeyed, and we have obeyed and acted and invaded the divine prerogative, cast out the devils and bind him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Every one of you receive that in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, brother.
Amen.
I guess we've come to the end. This evening, we share with them some of the divine prerogatives as sons of God.
Amen. And we thank God for such an opportunity he has given us to share the gospel with you. Amen. At 7 o'clock, we will be back tonight with another broadcast. The title is God's Word Limited to a Certain Period of People? We will come with that at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight for our broadcast. So once again,
Amen.
We thank God for all you've been listening. As for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate. We love you. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, brother.
Amen. God bless you.